house of the Lord, a hallelujah in our heart, a hallelujah deep within our spirit, and a hallelujah on the tip of our tongues. Because hallelujah is an ancient word from Hebrew that simply means praise the Lord. And we are commanded to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord because He is great and He is unique and He is good and He fills us with joy and gladness and hope, and He lifts the humble and the lowly to exalted positions in this world and in this life. God fills our spirit with joy. And that's what we are here to celebrate. I saw Miss Still coming in the sanctuary this morning, and she was dancing. She said, "I remember, I'm going to come into the church with thanksgiving in my heart." And so I hope that as you come in today, that there was a little pep in your step and a smile, because you are here no matter what's going on in your life or the world. Our praise of God supersedes everything. And we are to be noisy in our worship, and we are to be noisy in our praise, because God is to be exalted. Let everything that has breath praise the God. Let everything enter His house with thanksgiving. This is not a funeral service. Each Sunday is a resurrection service. He has raised from the dead, and because He lives, we live, and that is a glorious celebration in the heart of every believer. Amen. There you go. I like that. Hey, we just got to do this. But today, as we look at Psalm 113, it is the beginning of a group of psalms, Psalms 113 through 18, that was used by the Jewish people all the way up to the time of Jesus. These first two psalms, Psalms 113 and 114, were normally sung before the celebration of the Passover feast, before the first blessing, and then they would eat. And after they finished eating, there would be another psalm sung, and it would be Psalms 114 or 115, 16, 17, and 18, and then they would have a prayer. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, when we see the Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper, when the Lord's Supper was finished, Matthew 26, verse 30 says, "And they sang a hymn and left." And it was probably these hymns, as most scholars would believe, because they are focused on God's deliverance of His people from Egyptian bondage. And it is called, in the theological world, this set of psalms, the Egyptian Hallel. Praise God who delivered His people from Egypt, but yet it is also connected to Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone on which all stand. And so this morning, let us have a joy and a hallelujah in our hearts and our minds and deep within our spirits. Here is how the psalmist opens up in the first verse. He says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you His servants. Praise the name of the Lord." I mean, it's just so emphatic in what he's trying to get across. We could use the word hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's something that I want us to see. Who are to praise the Lord? It is the servants of the living God. We are to lead the way in praise. In this world, let Hallmark cards lead the way in the cards for any occasion. Let NASA lead the way in space exploration, right? Let Facebook and Twitter lead the way in censorship, amen? But let the people of God lead the way in praise and worship of His name. All you servants of God, praise His name. You, His servants, praise the name of the Lord. I asked you a quick question, not really expecting any answer. Who do you think gets the most praise in this life? Do you think a politician gets more praise than the Lord? Do you think a sports star gets more praise than the Lord? In this world, it seems like the stars and the political people get all the attention and all the praise. But God gets the praise from His church and His people. Which do you get most excited about? Which fills you the most? Which do you engage in the most? Is it your praise of the Lord, or is it watching a sports thing on TV, football, baseball? Now look, I know those things are fun, and we all do them, and some just love watching them, and that's good. But oh, may we never find more fulfillment, contentment, peace in those things than we do a Sunday morning worship service with the Lord. And as I said last week, there are so many good things about the Southern churches because I was a part of them too. But church is not to be a funeral service. Church is to be a place that recognizes the transcendence of God. Church is to be a place where we're not afraid to lift up our hands in holy prayer and praise of God. Church is not a place that we should be afraid to stomp our foot, shout hallelujah, say amen, and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Period. Period. People need that more than anything, because when people become a part of a sincere, authentic praise time, they get a glimpse that these people really do love the Lord. We don't have to fabricate it. We just have to recognize through our spirit who He is. And when we do that, God touches us deeply. And He changes us. And we worship. And we praise. Let the servants of the Lord lead the way in praise. Not only here. You're His servant outside these walls. Lead the way in praise to God. When you're outside of these walls, when you're with friends that don't believe, when you're with people that would criticize, lead the way for the Lord. Be that vanguard. Be the point of that spear. Let people know in a humble way that you love and trust the Lord, and you're not ashamed of Him, that He is your glory, and He is what you exalt in your life, and let the chips fall where they may. God is worthy of all of our praise. Verse 2, let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. In other words, your praise, my praise, begins and never ends. It is all time. It is now, in this moment. It is between the forevermore. It is the dash in which we give God everything. And why is that so? How can you praise God now, leave here, be praising God, and go to sleep at night praising the Lord? How is that possible? It is possible because God is your life. He is everything to you. He's not second place. He's not third place. He is the one that is your life. He gives you breath. You are alive because of Him. You can do nothing but give thanks to Him continually. John says, I thank Him for my keys. I thank Him for my phone. I'd been looking for my sports sunglasses for the last 6 weeks. Dee finally found them for me. I stuck them on my head. Got ready to go out for a bike ride yesterday and couldn't find my glasses. I was all in a tizzy. Where's my glasses? I can't find them. I just had them. They're on your head. And okay, Lord, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, that you've helped me find my glasses. It's almost like Laura over here looking for her phone the other day. I said, well, you're talking on it. No, that's Sorry, Laura. I'm just picking on you. Everything in life is thanksgiving to God. As you come into His sanctuary, His house, with an attitude and a focus which it takes to praise His name, you have the right heart, and that heart is inviting you into the presence of God. If you come in those doors worried about the bills, worried about this situation, focused on that situation, what's going to happen here, your heart's not set to enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving. We've got to be focused. We can let nothing take our eye off our glorious God. Let the praise of the Lord begin now and never end for all time in your life. You can praise God every moment of your life, whether it's a prayer or whether it's a thought or whether it's a humble act or whether it's a kindness to someone. We are the people of God, and we radiate the image of our Savior Jesus Christ with ever-increasing glory, which is from God and by the Holy Spirit in honor of His name. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun in the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise the Lord with every waking moment. Praise the Lord in every place, wherever you might be. This morning, some of you are sitting on your couch or maybe walking around the kitchen cooking breakfast. Listen to this live stream. Some of us are here sitting in the church sanctuary. Some people are listening from South Africa, some people from Georgia, others from Tennessee. On our live stream, there's so many listening from so many different places, some even from the Philippines. But wherever you are, whatever the location is, let your praise be lifted up to God. And the same is true. Let us praise God wherever we are with every waking moment. Do you wake up in the morning and take your feet out of that bed and set them on the floor and praise the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord, you woke me up. You give me breath. I've got another day set before me. God, you're a good God. God, you're a kind God. God, you make everything new every morning. And here we go, and I'm with you, Lord. The world says, oh, look what's happening. Look how scary it is. Look how everything's falling apart. Well, praise God in that, because the Lord is sovereign and reigning, and He is doing something in it to turn the hearts of people to Him. And so we give praise for good and bad and all the in-between. And we are safe and secure because the Lord is our Lord. We don't shrink back in fear. We don't turn and weaken in our faith. We stand strong. Praise the Lord with every waking moment. Praise the Lord with every fiber of your being. Praise His name. And then in verse 4, the Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory is above the heavens. This is simply a way, I think, simply saying there's no one like God. Our God is unique. He's one of a kind. He is exalted over every person, over every nation, over everything that He's created. This is a way of saying that God is transcendent. To say God is transcendent means that not only is He above everything and every person, but He is separate from them. God sustains His creation, but God sustains Himself. God needs nothing to sustain Him. He is eternal, immortal, and invisible. Isn't it a wonderful thing? The Lord is exalted. He's higher than the heavens. Oh, people used to say, maybe if we can do some space exploration, we can get out there in the universe, the Milky Way galaxy, and we might be able to find God. I remember when they were talking about that when I was first in ministry. You can't find Him there. He's above it. He's above the heavens. This is to say to you, my brother and sister, that God is more exalted and higher, more magnificent, more transcendent than we will probably ever be able to understand. We're just too small to truly get how big and how vast He is. Listen to this. You're gonna love this next part. Who is like the Lord? Nobody, because He's unique. There's only one God who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. This transcendent, vast, majestic God, who is exalted above all things, stoops down to look and see what's going on down here with little old you and little old me. When is the last time during the summer, maybe at a picnic or something like that, you're out walking around and you stoop down just because you had a place in your heart, a merciful and compassionate place in your heart for those little ants? You probably stepped on them. When's the last time that you walked out in your yard and there was just dandelions everywhere and you're like, I hate those dandelions. I need some poison to kill them. Our exalted, mighty God in the heavenly realm looks down on us lowly creatures that He has created, and He cares. God's transcendence doesn't mean that He doesn't care, or that He is so separated from us that He doesn't notice, doesn't participate, isn't involved. It means just the opposite. God is involved in every detail of our lives, of your lives, every detail to the very infinitesimal in this world. That's how sovereign He is. And in your life, especially if you're His loved ones, if you're His, in your life, He is there for you. God has been there, revealed His compassion, His mercy in our lives again and again. And if you are His, you know that to be true. In the most difficult, most sad, most hurtful times of your life, your Lord was there with the balm of Gilead to ease your suffering. That's pretty weak for our God. Let's give a real hallelujah. God has been there for you. Hallelujah. Okay, we can let it go. This isn't a hallelujah for Patrick. This isn't a hallelujah for the way Patrick might say something. This is a hallelujah for the God who is giving you something through Patrick. He gets all the praise for everything, and He deserves the most boisterous hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There we go. Now we're getting there. Now we're getting there. When we start to make you uncomfortable, we're getting there, okay? He raises the poor from the dust. This mighty God, who is self-sufficient, raises the poor from the dust. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. He raises the poor from the dust. He exalts them. He has compassion for the hurting. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. Oh, He got Job out of the ash heap, didn't He? He let him sit there a little while. Let him figure things out. Let him realize, you don't know all that you think, Job. but it's time for me to lift you out of the ash heap and give you more than you ever had before, which he did. Our God, who's so great, this is his heart of compassion for poor people and needy people who are weak, suffering, lowly. That's God. But isn't that his son, Jesus Christ, too? I bet when you think of Jesus, you can think of story after story where he lifted the poor and the needy. Surely you can remember when you were in situations in your life where when you thought, it's all over, the Lord shows up when you're not even expecting it because you've given up on him, and then he lifts you up and delivers you. That's our God. We've got so much to be thankful for. We've got so much to give of ourselves for what he has given of us. This is what God does. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. God just doesn't take the poor and needy and those that would be overlooked by other people. He stoops down, he looks, he sees the problem, sees what they're going through, and he lifts them up and says, you know, I'm going to put you over here where you're going to be in an exalted position. I'm going to put you with royalty. And how did he do that for you? He put you with Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world, who redeemed you by his blood. You are his chosen ones. You are elected and you are saved. You are in his hand, and nothing can take you out of it. And one day he will come back in his glory, and we will be called up and we will be transformed, and that will be a glorious and wonderful day. We are in the presence of royalty because we have been lifted up into the spiritual realm with Christ Jesus, and we have all the blessings that can be given in his name. See how blessed you are compared to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've not been washed in his blood, you don't have those blessings. You're lost. Your destiny is to wander in outer darkness. Your destiny is to be separated from God from everlasting to everlasting. But this is the season and the time of God's grace, and he bids you through his Holy Spirit, come, come to him. And I pray that if you know in your heart right now, if the Spirit of God is here and convicting you, you're not his or you're not saved, that you will respond to God and claim him. In faith, accept Jesus Christ. Talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to a friend. Talk to one of our elders. Talk to somebody who knows the Lord and loves the Lord, because he is here for you as well. And those things that we have talked about here this morning, they can be yours as well. The Lord's raising up of the lowly. Now look at the last verse as it concludes also with hallelujah. It says, he settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Here throughout Scripture, we see Sarah. She wanted a baby. Our culture is nothing like the culture that we look at in biblical history. For a mother not to be able to have a child, it was a disgrace for her. There was shame in it. That's not true today for most people. Most people, if maybe they can't have a child, but whatever the reasons might be, it's not because they feel disgraced. But in biblical Scripture, a wife wanted to be a mother, and a child was viewed as a blessing from God. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, wanted a child. I want a child. It's not going to happen. I'm barren, and my womb is as good as dead, right? And the Lord blesses her with Isaac. Rebecca, barren, God gave her a child. Rachel, barren, God gave her a child. And this text, which overlaps 1 Samuel chapter 2 in the song of Hannah, who was a barren woman that wanted a child more than anything, was blessed by God and finally became pregnant because of her cry to God with the great prophet Jeremiah. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children, the one that was shamed and the one that was in misery and the one that was in disgrace and the one who had not. He gives to them. He gives them a home. He gives them a family, and they are blessed because of him. And let all creation, let all nature, let all mankind, let every nation, but especially the people of God, praise the Lord. Give me a shout of hallelujah. All right, keep living for God and keep praising his name. Stand together and let us worship the Lord.